Good morning. I feel honored to be here, as I want to express my thanks to ITP for giving me a chance to be here. The title of my talk is Insights into DNAs of Isotropic Decaying Turbulence from Similarity Theory. I will briefly introduce the similarity theory. This will be Georgian 92. Then I will compare the DNS data with the result of theory. This will be my main part of the talk. Then I will give a brief summary. The main idea of the Georgian 92 similar is a single equilibrium similarity solution exists to the spectrum energy equation for all scales of the motion. So I'm not going to detail talk about this, but you can find from reference Georgian 92 the decay of homogeneous isotropic in physics of fluids or in ITP website. The solution of the theory are in excellent agreement with all the experimental data. They are reduced to the von Kármán, Haworth, and the Kolmogorov scaling in the limit of the infinite initial Reynolds number. Before I'm going to second part of my talk, I just want to briefly indicate the basic equation I will use and the notations I used in my work. The basic equation is spectral energy equation. The 3 over 2 U square is the turbulence energy. Epsilon is dissipation. The lambda is Taylor Michael square. Here I want to point out this is very important because we will use this for our scaling. L is integral scale and S is derivative scaleness. The DNS data I used here is given by Dr. Lei. I'm very happy I have a chance to thank him directly in here. The detail of the simulations we can find on these two references is Dr. Lei's 1993 paper and 1998 paper. So now I'm going to my second part, a comparison the result from similarity theory and the DNA state. Since I only have one projector, so I have to do this first and then show the data. I prefer have two projectors here. So the theory say the point predict the energy spectrum collapse all the wave numbers for fixed initial condition when plot as the E over U square lambda versus K lambda. Lambda here is Taylor Michael scale. So let. What are you? Maybe afterwards. Is it okay or not? After 10, I finished then when the combined question. Yes. Yes.
Actually, you don't have any choice. It has to be the Taylor Michael.
I think.
Well, the integral scale will prove to be the Kolmogorov microscale, of course, doesn't have to be it. Floats off by itself. I think if we still want to ask that question at the end, maybe it's not interesting.
Is I would. Okay.
Well, let me take a second. Okay. I can tell you. The whole idea is you seek similarity solutions to the original equation, and you don't prejudge what the scaling arguments are. In the classic von Karman approach, you assume the nonlinear transfer terms scale with velocity q. It's basically a single length velocity scale. Here you don't. You simply let the equations themselves determine the answer. And out come these arguments, which she will show you. The only assumption is the one you put in at the beginning, when you say that these are the important terms, and they all have to maintain the same relative balance throughout the case. They all go down together. The DEDT, the nonlinear transfer term, the spectral transfer. Instantly, you do the same thing with the entropy equation, the entropy, any equation you want. They all go down together. And out pop these things that she is showing you now, the first one of which is this one. And the details are in the paper, but even the website is sort of a quick view if you. The talk I gave her a couple of weeks ago.
Was this similar theory depending on the inertia condition, or you say for any inertia condition of the spectrum?
I will go into that later.
The second question was depending on the power at small scale. The last theory, essentially early theory, say the all decay theory is based on the small scale behavior essentially going up hot.
That's a result of the theory.
Okay. I appreciate your question. So this is the first predicted from the theory. So let's see what the data tells us. This I plotted the energy in the linear plot. Because this emphasizes the underneath of the curve is energy.
The time is. Those are.
Yeah, this is different time. The all the data from Dr. Lay has a different time. This is the long time run data. Yeah.
No. This is. She slipped by it in the questions, but the data, their data was in perfect agreement with experiments. This is not a talk about experiments.
This is all.
This is purely a talk about Ray's data.
Yes, it's all from the DNA state.
Probably
Alan will enlighten
us on this.
What's the slope of this?
This is log, you can see here.
Next slide.
The next. Okay. This is the energy I plot in the log plot. I think this emphasizes the high wave number part. Then you, I think collapse pretty well, but except this tails. I think in the long time here, still goes to collapse. Then, and for this part, I think maybe the next talk, Dr. Dr. Lewin. Okay. This part I will talk later. I think it's a low level.
I think it's Alan colored by a direct line, but it's not quite by
there.
If we push the peak up to the left, it would become an inertial. But we're turned over from the exponential decay there.
It's less than that.
It's a little less.
Could I ask the variation of lambda from one to the other? From the bottom to the top?
Yeah. You have a plot of that over there.
Yes. I think it's 70 to 110.
It's about that.
It's
about
best test that's available.
Okay, as a skeptic, one could
argue. Yeah. I would say, like, I.
On the large scale,
yeah.
And the tails, also, you said, when you said some garbage. I don't know what's happening with the tails. And the Reynolds number range is 2. And therefore, I would be prudent to say I should take it under advisement, so to speak.
Okay. Absolutely. Right. In fact, the challenge here is very obvious. If you go to, suppose you take the time to 14 eddy turnover times, does it behave the same way? The suggestion is that it would. The suggestion is that if you increase the resolution, all those points will lie on the same curve. And ultimately, the suggestion will be that if you can solve the problem at large scales, go for it. So there's a clear challenge here to the DNS community to prove it wrong, I guess.
Do you have a problem in Pomodoro variables?
The clutch is almost as good at the high end.
I didn't hear it.
The things aren't clashing that well there either.
Yeah.
And Pomodoro variables at some point.
Yeah. Look, there are many, it's more than just a spectral clutch.
Yeah, this
and
is
the show you. The whole piece, all the pieces fit together.
Yeah, this is the dissipation, because K square E, so you can see after the transit, this is the early time they collapse well, very well, in the linear plot. Since this is the log plot, because K square E, so in the this consists with, because the high part of the tail was shows big, but still in the long time run still is going to collapse. The another predict the theory predicts the integral scale must be proportional to Taylor square. I think it's because integral scale depends on the energy. So if energy collapses well, this will be no. I will go back to on this problem later.
That means a fixed constant that's independent of time. Is that what that means?
If the integral scale is proportional to the ratio, ratio should be constant. I will talk this in the last half of my talk. The third one is nonlinear spectral transfer function collapse when plot as lambda t versus over u square versus k lambda. So I have.
What is the difference from what is the R lambda range? It's about 100 to 200 for all
this computation. R lambda is 100, like 100. Yeah, to 100.
But remember, the whole key to the theory is you have to fix the initial conditions. So you can't do the usual trick of cross plotting. So what it means, if you want variation, you just have to go for a long time. And Alan has one of the few seminars.
So this is the plot shows the T is the transformation function is collapsed very well. The another part of the solution from theory shows this is directly from the theory is the turbulence energy must be decay, the power law, the equation here. We use the N is negative, we define negative, so here is just one to point out. Also, is smaller than minus 1, depends on initial condition. The rate of dissipation will give was a time part and minus 1. A Taylor microscale is will give is versus T. So we plotted this compared with the date. You can see it's pretty good. When we did this work, we have two set of data. It's really independent on initial condition, because the import is different. Here, since the time or some another reason, I only choose one date. But if the quantity of the how many, this is still we are working on. I cannot know. It depends on initial condition, but the quantities where I cannot say right now because I'm still working. But we have three sets of data compared. This is the one, Dr. Liz is the longest, we think is the best. So show this work.
Suppose you start with an initial condition, yeah, per se, in which the energy spectrum had a minus 5/3 or whatever, close to some equilibrated DNS data from a good periodic stirred simulation. Mm. Then you turn off the force.
Mm.
Then is the exponent the same?
No, I think, you know, I will show you the last part. Yeah.
No.
The later on will show you. I don't think so. So this is, we plot the energy here, but we don't think the decay, but we don't think this is really good way to plot. Sometimes we're misleading you the fit the curve in this part, so give you the power is not really exactly it is. So the way we do is here, we plot the energy and the decay rate is in the linear, so the time here, like u square 1 over n in the y-axis, this is time. Also, I want to show these three figures. This is the lambda. This is the energy, this is dissipation. We consider this three set of equation like I showed this here, this three equation. We consider this three of the use optimization, then decided the decay ratio n and the t0. So this we can see this fits really good up to this time.
What
is that? Is 1.65. 1.5. Minus 1.5. I think. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, 1.5 here.
That's unique for this data set.
Yeah. This is.
That isn't the same as plus or minus.
No.
Minus because we definition n is minus the negative, so n is minus 1.5.
Yeah. Let me point out, we've seen decay rates. Bill Reynolds and I think it was Furtziger, and I forget who the PhD student was, but they had were able to run decay rates all the way to minus 2.5 and about as low as 1.3. It really seemed, it's not clear what determines the K rate. It seems to be the initial Reynolds number as much as anything. But even then, it's not clear how that factors in. There's absolutely no question. It's very sensitive to how you start. Yeah.
How large is the integral scale compared to the box size in the simulation topic?
I would say the best.
That was coming. I didn't say that.
Alan said
that. The Reynolds number range is roughly the same, right?
Reynolds number range is the same.
Yeah.
Well, the combo portion data that I compared against was really enough with a subset of this Reynolds number.
Right.
70 to 60. This runs from 100 to 95. From 70 to 60,
yeah.
Very well. Yeah, there's not many points there. I mean, there's a lot of
software. But it goes back to how you fit which part of that decay. That's the point. Put the decay curve back up, the very first one where you showed u squared versus.
Okay.
Yeah,
this one?
Yeah, that's the one. You can just about pick any range in there you want. and get a, which, depending which part of the thing you decide to emphasize. And that,
yeah, because just T0.
Right. The key to what she did was taking all the pieces together and just saying, hey, you can only have one virtual origin. You know the Taylor microscale has to go as the square root of T. That's purely as a consequence of the power law. And by regressing on everything simultaneously, that's what came out.
When you say initial conditions, you mean when it starts to agree with the theory or way back in the beginning? Or
probably way back
at the beginning. That's right. Yes, I read the paper. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Since I'm heavy 6 week, really good, so really do me a favor here. The Reynolds number based on this is the another solution from Celia. Here we this is here I want to point out is if the Reynolds lambda is constant during the decay, if n equal to minus 1, then will be constant. Then actually they will fix all the another different scaling. This is, I think, is part of the theory. We don't have limit for Reynolds number should be infinite number. This is the plot. Seems pretty good. This is the professor. This is the legend of the Reynolds number here. So far, so good. I think the CLA and the DNS data agreements pretty well. Now I'm going to talk about the two problems we found in our work. The number one is the CLA predicts the this machine is not its derivative skewness in inverse proportional to R lambda for fixed initial condition. So this should be the from theory's conclusion. Now let's see what Dieng's data shows. The data shows that progress is very slow here. So seems, how to say, is not really reached to the constant. So this is the one of the problem we found here. So we try to figure out what is the reason. Maybe CLR, maybe data. So the I would like to go back to take a look at the definition of the skewness. So this you can see this is the integral k square t and k square e divided by k square e. If we remember the k square E is kind of well resolved. They are collapsed here. But the k square t is not as good as the k square e, according to the data I plot here. This is a linear plot. So we think maybe one of the reasons is if based on this the data to calculate the skewness, maybe some error are there, but this is still is an open question here. I'm sorry, I didn't. I should.
It was in his paper, actually.
Do they show the same amount of spread in that
paper? It's probably it's not much different.
But they don't find one.
Well, I think it's remarkable is as you get toward the end of the calculation, things are starting to look pretty good. Once you've gotten rid of this funny stuff,
the number is getting lower and lower.
Absolutely.
The difference from the other scaling.
Yeah, that's certainly one interpretation of it. Yeah.
Have you computed the details of the change bell to see whether the degree of locality or non-locality change?
You mean chunk the shape different?
Right,
yeah, I did actually. Didn't make a lot of change. Even I actually for yeah, this is actually I really did is I cut the different according to different times. I chunk the different. Actually, I shrunk the 350, 280. Also, I shrunk the different way, different. Doesn't change a lot. This I did away. I didn't do the Dr. Raj suggested I should do that. I will.
This is K squared T.
This is K squared T.
And that appears in
the introduction. This is the one problem we find. The second problem is, go back to your question.
Before you, can we just, if you look, even if you just look at the data and forget the theory, it's clear that about the only place you should be computing the skewness is at the end.
And of course,
that's all you guys did in the paper with him and us. But many people show this time variation skewness, and there's no justification.
Well, I think there is at lower Reynolds number.
At very low Reynolds number, yeah. But this is why this is the plot you should be looking at.
You see, still as the time goes long, still collapse. So that seems like convince me is not the scaling, because if really scaling, then the time goes long will not go this long. That's not we talked about. But anyway, I will. So the second problem is go back to ask the integral scale and the macro scale should be a ratio should be a constant. We plotted here. Here still is not exactly reached to the really constant part here. You can see here is. So same thing, if we go back to look the definition of the integral scale here, we can see it depends on E over K here. So we think in the low wave part will play an important role to decide this integral scale here. So we plot the low wave part E over K here. This is the plot. So as you can see here is there not enough resolution here to plot? Also can see in the later two set of data is still going to collapse. So what we think is the low wave part maybe takes longer to reach to equilibrium, or another way to say it takes longer to transistor die off. Then also because this low wave number part will play an important role in the integral scale. So this combination will, I think in Tony's paper also pointed these things also.
This is not the spectrum, it's the spectrum
over K. K over K.
EK over K. That's your other slide.
What?
Do you have that one where you do the K squared? Do you have that slide?
K squared. Okay.
Just finish your point and then
do it. Okay.
He chills. That's coming.
This looks like a pretty systematic trend. John suggested some other skills may have a shot at collapsing.
Or that the initial effects are persistent.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me say it again. Because first of all, we found that the integral scale has not really agreement with the theory. So we go back to see why the reason. So we, from definition, we see is the low wave number will play important role. So we plotted this in. Also, I make this low wave number. Like if you scale differently, you can see. If I put here is 10, then never see this part. This is part no. So I plotted this. We found this here is there not really collapse. If we go back to the professor's question, this is you want to see here is the K square, is the initial. This is E initial here.
Yeah.
here, different scale. Okay.
Well, where the peak of the K?
Six.
Six?
Yeah, initial, in, and the input initial. Yeah, I will go into this. Yes.
I want to come back to this later.
Yeah, so this is the, I think I read the paper also see this, is talk about these things. So I here I want to, related to this the low wave part, large scale part, I want to show is this is in the basic equation. We can find that if from this basic equation, the solution, we write a solution is directly from this equation. There were two parts here. I here, this part you can see. This is ET, this is initial input. This exponential part here, you see here, if K is lower, very low part, will take a long time to die off this. Maybe stays forever. So that means in the initial condition, in the low wave part, takes long, long time to die off. So I also plotted this solution with here. You can see here on the solid line, this is this term, this initial condition, E experiment. This is the E, the energy. Spectral energy. This state is from Dr. Lay. This is I just this term. I just minus two term. Get this. You can see in this part, the initial part die off very slowly. So that's what is we think maybe is a problem. So make a comment is that we found that the two problems we found. One is skewness, we think in the high wave number part, maybe we have the better resolution, take longer time to calculate, maybe we'll solve it. In the integral scale part, we think is the low wave part, because the solution I show you directly from equation tells us the initial part stays longer in the low wave part. We also suggesting is maybe we can move the peak input initial, move the peak to the high wave number part. Maybe we'll solve this problem. That's open question here. Before I finish my talk, let me give a very short summary. The theory and the DN state are for the most part found in remarkable agreement. Then the theory is sure to be useful in clarifying the behavior of the simulations at a very low and a very high wave number, where resolution and the box size are general concern. That's what I just said. Then also it proves an indication of when the simulation can be considered fully developed. Thank you very much.
What
is the
balance
near the end of the
computation,
the
integral
scale to the box size?
Probably
about 4.
But can you give the slide up? The curve fit.
Okay. What the special issue is, what's the area of the external length scale? And once you fix it, it's done.
Which length scale?
The external length scale. And there were experiments.
You mean you want to this?
1994 and later also. When you fix the external length scale by the experiment. And then there is decay. And once this is done, the energy decays like t to the minus 2, and the Reynolds number, Taylor Reynolds number decays like t to the minus 1/2. It's very clear, we're scaling over 2 decades. And if you do a mean field theory of this, you exactly get those exponents. I mean, down, exactly exponents, and down, then exponential decay. And I think these questions all arise because the external length scale is not fixed. And then you get pictures of two effects.
Could you define mean field theory? What is mean field theory?
Well, mean field theory in the sense that higher order moments are decomposed as product of second order. So it's a theory neglecting the double direction. But for this question, it can be treated as a mean field theory. Well, here's a man that takes a lot of care.
Hey, moderator. You're supposed to be playing with you.
I guess I'll talk about this afternoon, but I don't think we see the minus two. I don't believe it. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, let me. Can I? In one sense, you're absolutely right. If the whole premise of this similarity theory is that the link scale is growing, it's not fixed. This is a some unique solution to the particular problem of decaying isotropic turbulence with an unconstrained link scale. If you make it not decaying, you force it, you fix the link scale, you get a different answer. And maybe this approach doesn't even work, for example, with force turbulence, because you lose the things that give you a similarity solution, namely the time difference. There's one piece that just kind of went by really quickly. Fosley asked about what's the infrared. One of the things that's interesting, the theory essentially produces an invariant. So you can see it at the top of that slide, R to the MBLL. And that invariant is related to the decay rate. So notice the relation between M and N. If you put in N minus 1.5, you get K squared. My gosh, it looks very good. If you had a different K rate, for example, if you had N is minus 1, you get K to the first power. If you put in N of minus 5/2, which is, we think, the final period of decay, or whatever it means, you get K to the fourth. So the thing that's unique about this theory is all the pieces are tied together. What this theory would say is you can get all of those, anything between minus 1 and minus 5/2 is possible, if you pick the right initial condition. And again, that's a challenge to the DNS community. We've already got some indication from the runs at Ames and Stanford that you can realize by how you choose your initial spectrum.
I have a comment. Please, if you can comment, but both of these have already been addressed by others. I'll ask you that. The fact that you have different decays is a question of how large is the integral length scale compared to the box size. We know the asymptotic is how Tony says he doesn't believe. But the point is, if you make the, if you allow the turbulence to such a state that the length scale no longer grows, it is confined by the comment that Detlef was making, then the power law for the decay is minus 2. If the integral length scale is very small compared to the domain size, then we know it is something like 1 or 1.2, whatever. But if you have length scale which becomes comparable to different degrees to the box size, it's conceivable, therefore, by interpolation of these two results, that you would have different power logic. So that's one part of the comment, which is elaboration of what Kettler said. The other comment relates to Bill's theory in general. Now, this is, as you all recognize, a sort of different from the classical one, where you think that there are two scales. One is the external forcing scale, and then the small scale, which is the Kolmogorov scale. This theory just says that there is one scale that is relevant to the whole process, so it is sort of revolutionary in some sense. Now, there are two restrictions here that I do not quite understand. One of them is that it says the initial conditions have been fixed. I don't know what exactly it means. I have no clue as to what all the things that are fixed in initial conditions. Is it just second order quantities, higher order quantities, just the integral scales of velocity and length? I don't know. The other thing that I'm a little confused about is that he maintains that all the terms in the equation that Ms. Lang showed maintain the same relative importance to each other. Now, this is not necessarily the case in decay turbulence. In fact, it's conceivable that different terms decay at different rates, eventually you have a different set of dynamics compared to what you started out with. So it's imposing a certain type of restriction that is, let's say, artificial on the problem. And finally, a point that Foster made, but I would make it a little bit more gently,
and that is that one should think that the Reynolds number range that is covered in the simulations is actually quite small, as everyone knows. And there are these things that the Bill theory comes out with as being constants, like product of skewness and Reynolds number, which you don't see as a constant, in spite of the fact that there are some problems in computing the skewness. And the Lanskare ratio, L over lambda, which is theory, comes out to have a constant ratio in decreasing. So, therefore, the moral of the story is that there is a theory, and there are certain questions that are not too well resolved, and there is a certain amount of data which covers a very narrow range in the Reynolds number. And so one should not think that the theory is actually. And I would think it's a very interesting idea, and one should pursue this depending on how one wants to go through this. But leave out my remarks.
Can I just say? Okay. I think is the question Professor Srini raised is the every term is go same way decaying. I honestly say I think this problem a lot. We talked. I think is that because we said is the fixed K L, the L is time dependent. So this is, if you go back to the original equation, I think if you just say that every term, that we go back to the other. If we go back to this equation, if you say every term has same weight, that's definitely, it's harder to imagine. But here, actually the equation, after apply, this is kind of the theory. After you, this is the non-dimensional. This is the length scale is the k bar is KLT. So when you put in this equation, then you say this every term here, this is function fixed KL. It's true or it's not true? It's harder to say, but if we compare it with experimental data, shows all the data is collapsed. In certain sense, we'll say maybe makes sense. Then compare it with DNA data, we also, most part, we are agreement. Several problems there. If after testing, we'll show is maybe it's a theory problem. I think accept that. But before that, we still think, because the every term remains same ratio is from this equation. It's not from this equation. So this is there have length scale is changes with decay. So this is the part is I want to point out here. Is that I'm not sure my understanding is correct or not.
You show those parallel curves and then they only are consistent after about a time of four. So is that when you expect the theory to be valid? Is that the,
well, in fact, back to your original comment, that it depends on which question you're asking. It appears that the energetics of the turbulence have reached this state by about four in Allen's variables, whatever they are. Basically, it's a non-dimensional time. It's probably about four eddy turnover times. It's clear from plots of, say, k squared t, if you're asking questions about the entropy and things like that, you have to wait a lot longer. It's probably also clear that if you're asking things about things that happen at very low wave numbers, like integral scales, you have to wait a lot longer. Interestingly enough, the integral scale problem arises in the experimental data. The skewness problem does not. The theory is absolutely spot on. Extreme mess up. What do you mean by fixing initial conditions? I don't know. But what I do know is that you can't compare one experiment to another. In the past, if you go back to Townsend, these plots are in Townsend's book. But what they were looking for is a kind of universality and independence of initial conditions. So they cross-plotted all of the different grids and flow speeds together. And when you do that, it doesn't work at all. The key is if you fix the grid and go downstream, it's perfect. And as you saw the Mahan was, if you fix, you just start with one calculation and follow downstream. Now, I'd be delighted to have a larger round. One of you guys should go do that. You know, certainly we're going to have to. But that's the ultimate test, is to run this calculation for a very long time and play with the initial conditions. One last point, and then I'll shut up. I don't even remember what it was.
When you say initial conditions, do you mean, like, you could start this calculation out with a small band and wave number space and let it develop in time? Are you talking about there, or are you talking about when the theory is supposed to be valid and all the terms are invalid?
I remember what my point was. My point was I didn't want this to be a discussion of theory. We were trying to use a theory to show where we think there's some problems with the DNS, and I hope that point got through. I think there's a real serious question about how you start these calculations. Mahanlu, can you put your equation back up? I must say, you showed me this, and I thought, in all my years of trials, I have never seen the solution to that equation written down before. Let's just show you you need the heat transfer person once in a while. But it's clear that if in that simple little equation that the initial conditions take a heck of a long time to go away, and maybe don't ever go away at the lowest scales. And if you think about how you start these calculations compared to what that's the one. Look at that first one.
Thank you. Stick into things.
So Swing and I and others are chatting about this. If you look at how you make a grid system, I cut my teeth in the Horseman's Tunnel like many of you, you make weights. And those mesh size. And you make your little lakes, and then you go downstream maybe 40 meshes, and finally you've got something where the energy is pretty well spread out in all wavelengths. But where is the energy showing up in these wave numbers? Well, let's just draw a hypothetical three-dimensional spectrum function here. This energy is showing up as something that's much greater than M, or M to the minus, it'd be 1 over M, since we're talking wave numbers, so it'd be less than 1 over M. So you're putting the energy in at these tiny, these basically vortex shedding off the weights, and you're eventually getting a turbulence in which the energy is in much, much, much lower scales. Or said another way, you put it in way up here, and you allow the spectrum to build in both directions. Contrast
you
that.
In both, right? No?
What?
You put it in a both. You put it in at the high numbers.
No, mostly what you've done is put in these little weights. That's where all the energy is initially. My point is they're way up here relative to where the energy is.
But you're also putting a bunch of stuff in M.
I bet if you went back and actually measured spectra here, you wouldn't find it. You'll see a very big spectrum.
Bob, the open area being much larger, they are probably more like near the grid, more like weight than this.
I've done this. You're going to get a spectrum that is very, very sharp, and it's going to be up here around the diameter. It's going to be concentrated around the diameter. But the point is, look at the difference. Let's put the difference in the behavior of the solution. Look at the behavior. If you started putting energy in up here and nothing down here, then there's nothing to be killed by this term. On the other hand, look what happens if you start the calculation.
That's assuming that the equilibrium water is what you want to kill it.
But the point is, that's the solution. I mean, you can't argue about the first term. It's there. There's no closure hypothesis needed, and all the other things you don't know are in the ether. So this term has to die off for the second term to dominate. And what it seems, for reasons I don't completely understand, Honglu showed you, that first term looks like this throughout the calculation. It goes down a little bit. And everything else is going on down here. What I thought originally is maybe Alan picked this. Maybe what he picked here is what actually determines the one in the hand. What did he pick then? He actually picked Lois. You had a picture.
You guys don't have the initial conditions.
We have the one you gave.
You have the developed conditions.
That's okay.
You don't have C equals zero.
So I don't really know what he picked. Do you know what he picked?
Yeah, what's the key? What's the key to the four, even one is key.
So it was a key to the four, okay.
Yeah.
But that's clearly not what shows
up. But that immediately builds up, you know. The peak starts out at six.
Yeah.
As it starts to push back toward the box.
That's the one we have.
But sometimes he's looking.
There's a tough question. There's some interesting questions here. And what is it in the initial condition that makes a difference? I think if we don't really know that, we're not going to know whether that tension.
There were a couple of things that we had as an experimentalist have been looking at for a long time here, probably under the I think you were talking about initial condition and universality. When the flow beat is becoming independent of initial condition, it is becoming universal, so it's probably related to only one question, the existence of universality. In current boundaries, we have looked at a lot of data over many decades, and we have seen that the initial condition pretty much is defined as how transition occurs, the nature of the trip, the free stream turbulence, the shape of the laminar velocity profile, and so on, and so on. But we have always seen that particularly low Reynolds number turbulent boundaries that are very, very sensitive to how transition occurs. There was nothing universal about it. And then when you remove a lot of data, which has like so-called initial condition dependence, then you begin to come across what Coase found, that it is like some kind of asymptotic state. But then when more and more data came out, then you see that there is really no universal state in a turbulent boundary layer. You have effects of transition even at very high Reynolds number, which is very, very surprising, where we thought there was asymptotic state. And even in fully turbulent profile, you did not see universality when you go to high Reynolds number of space shuttle or when such data became available. So in a way, we have you know, if you look at the entire data, and then we have pretty much we have concluded that the flow seems always to be dependent on how transition occurs. It is dependent on initial condition, and we don't see the existence of any universal state at all. So it's kind of a little bit depressing that you are looking for something very unique and pure, and you didn't really find it.
And incidentally, the same theory applied to the boundary layer gives exactly those results. It says the upstream conditions will exist.
Tony.
Yeah, I need to ask Alan this question. I don't either you or Ravello tried the initial condition with a bunch of wave numbers. This way was zero.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Yeah, what did it fill in?
Fills in a minus K4th initially, and then that's all.
Then
the peak moves to the left,
and then it gets
becomes more
distorted.
Like K squared. Yeah. Yeah. It's distorted by the period, isn't it?
Going back to
one other. Yeah, sorry. I was going to save this afternoon, but if you take an infinite domain, but a finite domain of vorticity, you can show that the initial, the spectrum goes like either K squared or K4, and it depends on whether or not the net box has impulse or not. And that remains fixed for all time. You can't get rid of that K squared or the K4, and so that initial term that you're talking about stays there forever and just produces a minus 3 halves time decay or a minus 5 halves. That's it. There's nothing else you can get. But that's for the final period of decay. That's
But incidentally, this curiously enough, it produces the Saffman initial condition, the K squared.
The K law is a little different. That's right, because I think Saffman assumes that if you take a collection of these vortices, you're going to get some momentum.
It's an initial distribution of vortices.
But Alan tried the K4th, but it finally, I guess, gives up.
You're talking about a case where we have an infinite range of wave numbers.
Yeah,
you know, they
can
be arbitrarily small, whereas here we have the smallest wave number is 1. And
that's right.
That's
right. Right,
right. Yeah,
probably a very rather elementary question is, if you pin everything down for a defined initial condition, it means the theory will never be verified, because two simulations either have to start identically with the same algorithm, or you already accommodate that the result, the asymptotic results could be different.
That's false, because the theory, what confirms the theory is its internal consistency. It predicts a specific time dependence for each quantity.
Initially,
you can go to any level of the equation, go to the Poisson equation if you like, look at the ratio of the terms. In fact, Fong Liu didn't show you, but if you took, the one thing you can do is, you can take the ratio of the various terms in the equations, the integrated terms, so the integral of d omega squared dt, and compare that to, say, the integral of k to the 4t or whatever. And those integrals are just spot on constant, right through the whole calculation.
That I understand.
But when you say,
given an initial condition, what is the basis for
Obviously, we don't know the answer.
Why even emphasize it? Is it a caveat, or is it? Equations tell you that, and it's exactly the spot I think that Kalman made a second ago.
We have believed for a long time in Terbon that if you go long enough, the initial conditions don't matter. And this theory says there's nothing in this theory that says that that's true.
Maybe in pipe and channel flows, it's better.
Jack makes interesting comments. I never believe that. In fact, nobody that's ever done these kind of calculations or made measurements believes it, because we know it never happened.
But Tully's right. There probably are a few flows where you might expect this to be true, like pipe and channel.
Homogeneous.
I was going to ask, does this George 92 go all the way into final period of decay?
What's curious about it, Tony did not talk about Tony's theory, it was presumed that he will, but he and another student, and you have to have him along, I think, to work on this problem. Tony suggests this is Mei-Jing one. Right? This is a long problem to be working on. I'll get killed for that later. What Tony and Mei-Jing did is they put the second term in that retained essentially a power of Reynolds number in terms of one of the second scaling functions. And what they found is they could account for some of the problems in the data, like made the skewness turn over. My suspicion now is that the problem they were accounting for is this resolution problem. We'll debate that over the course of the next few weeks. But I think you may need, if you wanted to turn over into the final period of decay, that's probably where your extra turn comes in.
Yeah.
That's what turns that over.
Yeah.
But again, this theory is not self-limiting, which bothers me. There's nothing in the equations themselves that says when it sees this to be valid. It says you lock into the state, you just stay there. You wonder, is there another set of equations, maybe the three-point equations, or somewhere else that will produce a limiting point?
But again, it gives
it's the same problem with boundary layer. If you lock in the similarity solution for boundary layer, you're locked into a near separation state and stay there forever. So then you say, how do we ever get out of it? Very interesting problem, and it seems to lie in the higher order equations.
There is no final period of decay in this case, because all the terms are going exactly the same way, which means the time is final period.
Yeah.
But you have to direct the discussion more towards
I'd like to make a DNS-related question for Jonathan. Okay. But I what Bill is pointing out about Alan's data is that there are things about the data that make it not possible to fully verify or resolve the issues that come up in the theory, right? And I think that's the real point of discussing this here, right? I think the question that one then should ask is, okay, well, what is an appropriate set of DNS experiments, if you will, to resolve the issues of the that are brought up by the theory, in order to either confirm or deny the theory. And I'm not sure what the answer to that is, except a few that are obvious to do very huge calculations. Right? Homework to Bill. I think, to some extent, that's right. But I but But there are real limitations to what you can do, right? And one, I think this is where the cleverness comes into doing one of these things. If you have a very specific question that about a theory, then you can design a very specific simulation, perhaps, to answer that question. And so what well, is that simulation?
The first thing I did was convince Truman to invite all of you.
Let us give that as a homework for Bill. Tomorrow,
he will tell us what simulation is.
A physical that is not falsified, but is not here. So you actually have some.
Yeah, you are complaining about too little variation in Reynolds number. So I have the idea, let's try some other model, some cascade model of turbulence, and see is the theory applicable to this cascade
Curiously
model.
Curiously enough,
And then let it decay. I mean, there you really can let it decay.
Yeah, but let me point something out. It's an interesting. It was pointed out in the early 1989 paper where I laid this line of approach out for turbulent ship flows. It's curious that any closure hypothesis immediately
It's a dynamical theory.
Okay.
It's a shell model.
I understand what
and then, well, we tried it in fact with six external length scale. And then we exactly get the prediction for the mean field theory, and then the same what Donnelly sees in experiments where energy goes like T2 minus 2 with six length scale. But you can modify this, and then you really can have Reynolds numbers. Well, three decades of Reynolds numbers, and really see, and what I would expect that your theory is equally well applicable to this cascade type model, one model or so, and then one can really see whether it's okay or not.
Yeah. But I don't think the issue is this meeting is my theory. The issue is the questions it's raising and the persistence of initial conditions and the problems of resolution and box size, and they really are just. If you don't believe the spectra collapse to start with, it doesn't occur to you to apply them. You don't see these inconsistencies. So I think it's kind of wrong to focus on the nuances of the theory, although that's another separate set of interesting questions. But what the real question is, how can, if these initial conditions are really persisting the way we think they are, it certainly calls into question what we're doing here, and I think it's a question we need to address.
Well, but I think it's I look at it differently. I mean, if you accept that there's initial condition dependence, then your test immediately becomes well, what is that initial condition dependence? Right? What do you have to know about the initial conditions to predict the behavior of the flow? And that actually is a question that DNS is very well suited for, assuming you have enough resources to do it, because you can create any initial condition you want. So,
the interesting thing is the only parameter that you seem to need is n. Once you pick n,
But what controls n? That's right.
And maybe Tony's right.
So, one last comment, and then we'll take a break, and Jack wants to say something.
I'll follow up on what Fitless said. There are models, which are not really models, but closures which solve those kinds of equations exactly, like the random coupling model or something. Mm-hmm. For which the direct interaction approximation is the exact solution. And what George said is right. There is some disagreement with what they're proposing here, especially at very low wave numbers, where the theory predicts that the slope of phase four is sufficient to guarantee a kind of behavior like Komodo predicted in 1942. So it can be checked there, but if you plot those theories at lower Reynolds numbers, what you see is that only this K4th region where you observe non-self-similarity when you scale things with lambda. That holds down to very low Reynolds numbers, and it's an old result of the 60.
What result was that?
You only see this.
So what specifically are you referring to? Which result was this?
It was the fact that the K4th region and the closures, like VIA, which is really an exact solution of a model equation, a set of model equations, this is self-preserving, and it's inconsistent with complete. Self-similarity to the whole spectrum. In other words, you only see this inconsistency at fairly low wave numbers, below the energy peak or near the energy peak. Beyond that, higher wave numbers, you obtain very nice feelings of lambda.
Okay,
so you have to look at that K4th region. You have to resolve that as time goes on.
So with that, let's take a break. Thank you.
You realize you don't want to call back.
Hey, good to see you.
Getting driven up to Chicago.